Sit or lie comfortably, quietly. Allow yourself to be here fully in this moment. With your eyes closed, begin to connect with your inner world of thought and feeling. Gradually, let the horseshit of the external world fade from your awareness. If you find your mind wandering to other thoughts, don't let it concern you. Just acknowledge that all that ish is bullshit. You're here now, in this place, with your inner stillness. Those bitches can't get under your skin. They can't even. Take in a deep breath. Now breathe out. Just feel the nonsense float away. Take full, deep breaths. Breathe in strength. Breathe out bullshit. Allow your breathing to discover its own natural, unhurried pace. If your thoughts drift to the three-ring show of your life, bring your attention back to your breathing. And with each breath, feel your body saying, "Cough that." With passive acceptance, just allow distracting thoughts to float by. Cough that. With each breath you take, your thoughts become lighter. And all the soul-eating cocksuckers just fall away into nothing. Take a moment to appreciate the silence. Those assholes can't piss all over a purity like this. You are weightless, timeless, without beginning or end. Completely relaxed and free of thought. And as you slowly open your eyes, greet the world and everything in it with a new, beautiful breath of that.
Injection, fellas.
Time is going to stand still tonight, delaying midnight by a second. A leap second is being added to the world's clocks to make sure time stays in sync with the Earth's rotation, which is slowing down because ocean tides are moving ahead of it due to things like earthquakes. And the moon, which obviously controls the tides, is trying to pull them back into alignment. So at 23:59:59, scientists will subtly add an extra second. We won't notice, of course, though, because let's be honest, it's just a second. And the atomic clocks on your phone will adjust themselves. Without leap seconds added every now and then, things would start drifting over many years. So like lunchtime would occur in the middle of the night. Obviously not in our lifetime, though. Here are things that are happening every second. So yeah, stuff happens.
Does the time bother you? I get bothered by the time. Not so much the time itself, the people bother me for the time. People come up to me on the street. I'm sure you've had this happen to you. People come up to you and say, "What time it is?" Well, they might say, "What time is it?" I shouldn't get into these ballads. You've had people come up to you and say, "What time is it? What time is it?" As if you personally were responsible for keeping time. You know, I feel honored, first of all, that they thought I was the man in charge. But I do have to explain, you don't see official timekeeper on here, do you? I don't have the time, of course not. Do you have the time? That's another way they say, "Do you have the time?" I say, no. I don't believe I do. I certainly didn't have it this morning. Did you leave it somewhere? Well, do you have the time? No, I don't have the time. I use a little of it, like everyone, you know. But I don't have it. I think the Navy has it. In Washington, isn't that? They keep it in an observatory, that's right. Sure, they let out a little of it each day. Not too much. They wouldn't want to give us too much. Just enough time. Sometimes they'll say, do you know what time it is? And I say, yes. I hate to disappoint them, but there is no time. There is no time. I don't mean there's no time. I mean there's no time. When the hell is it? We made that whole thing up. There's no time. We made it up. It's a man-made invention, time. There are no numbers up in the sky. I've looked. They're not there. We made this stuff up. When is it? When the hell is it? When are we, I ask you? When are we? Sometimes we think we know where we are, but we don't really know when we are. When the hell is it? All the time zones are different. Every calendar you run across is different. They'll all give you a different answer. These are calendars. These are made to keep track of time. Everybody's got a different one. Chinese are way up there in the 5,000 and 6,000s. Hebrew calendars way up in the 5,000 and 6,000s. We're up at about 1,970-something. This ain't a couple of weeks these people are off. This is thousands of goddamn years that are missing, man. How did they do that? We don't know when the hell it is. It could be the middle of last month for all we know. I mean, time is so, we've got it down so perfect that every 4 years we have to stick in an extra day just to make sure it still works. And we call it February 29th.
Boo, it's March 1st and I know it.
It just feels like March 1st. You can't keep track of the time. What's the sense? I'll give you an example. There's a moment coming. It's not here yet. It's still on the way. It's in the future. It hasn't arrived. Here it comes. Here it is. Oh, shit, it's gone. There's no now. There's no now. Everything is the near future or the recent past. But there's no present. Welcome to the present. Gone again. It's just so imprecise. We don't even care to use the minutes and seconds and hours that we've been given. Everybody's very vague about the time. She says, what time you got?
I got just after. Just after? Jeez, I must be slow. I had going on.
And where did that imprecision begin? Why is it we're not so sure? I know one of the clues that happened to me was when they started telling me about moments. When I was a kid, they were trying to teach me how to tell time. And, of course, you can't tell time. Time tells you. But they were trying. They were trying to show me. On the big hand, I said, I don't have a big hand. Never mind. Look at the clock. And the clock is so wonderful. There's so much emotion attached to a clock face. I hate digital clocks. Digital clocks rob me of all the emotional experience of the spatial relationships on that face of the clock. Isn't it true? I mean, don't you always feel that this half hour, when it comes down from 12 down to 6, goes by a lot quicker than this half hour when it has to come up fighting gravity all the way? I know, it does go a lot quicker. God, oh, I got you. Yeah. I'll tell you this, if I only have a half hour to live, I want it to be this one, man. When it lasts just a little bit longer than that one there. It's vague. That's all I'm saying. It's very vague how we treat time. We have all these wonderful expressions. We say now. Now is an interesting one. When? Now. You want that now?
Yes.
Well, would you like to try again? Well, sometimes just now. Just now. Did you hear that? What? Just now.
You must mean just then, don't you?
Yes, just then. But there it goes again. When? Now. No, not now. No. Pardon me, do you have the time?
When do you mean, now or when you ask me? This is moving, Ruth.
We have a lot of these vague terms. Right away, immediately, at once,
lickety-split,
just like that,
nothing flat,
drop of a hat, no time at all. As quick as you can say, Jack Robinson.
I'm sure you've done that to people.
I'll be back before you can say Jack Robinson. Jack Robinson, hey, you're not back. How about a jiffy? A jiffy? Or a flash? Which is quicker? A jiffy or a flash?
I think there are two flashes in a jiffy, myself. But God knows how many jiffies there are in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
And why did they use two shakes of a lamb's tail? What's wrong with the basic unit of measurement? One shake of a lamb's tail. We can do our own arithmetic. Thank you. Belched a little there. Tried to swallow that one. Then we have words like soon. Soon. That's a very emotional word. There's a lot of potential for drama in that word. Soon. 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 Is your mother coming home? Uh-huh. When? Soon. Real soon. As soon as she can.
Sooner than you think. That's kind of a spooky one. Sooner than I think. That's a little bit like before you know it.
I'll be back before you know it.
He did it. Holy Christ. Look at that. Can we go on with these terms that we use, these vague terms of time? One of these days. Before long. Any time now.
Well, that's true. Everything's going to happen any time now. Any day now. That's kind of a snotty one. Any day now.
Hey, I'll be giving you that $5 I owe you, Bill.
Yeah. Any day now.
Sooner or later. Now and then. Once in a while. From time to time. In a little while. In a little while. Well, it'll just be a little while. That's a wonderful one. I just love that. It sounds so benign. Just a little while. Couldn't hurt you, could it? You can wait a little while. It'll only be a little while longer. Just a little while. That's so different from a short time. Short time. Sounds almost terminal, doesn't it? You only have a short time. Whereas you have a little while. Oh, I'd rather have a little while than a short time. Yeah, we got long ways we measure time. We got vast distances of time we measure. People will say things like, kingdom come. I'm going to be standing here till kingdom come.
I don't have that on my watch.
Doomsday, you say? Doomsday. Till the cows come home.
Well, that's an easy one to understand. That's long about dusk, isn't it? If you leave them out overnight, they burst.
Here's a long period of time.
Forever.
Some people will tell you, guys, I've been standing on this line forever. Look at this, Dave. This man has been standing on line forever. He looks fairly fresh to me. Almost like an eternity, people will tell you. It's almost like an eternity, as if they had experience with eternities.
South Carolina has voted to take down the Confederate flag after 16 hours of debate and weeks of controversy. In a move considered unthinkable by many just a month ago, the flag, which has flown above the State House for more than 50 years, will now be removed. After the House passed the bill, in a surprise landslide by 93 to 27 votes, there were hugs, tears, and high fives in the chamber. South Carolina's Governor Nikki Haley signed the bill after a long and rowdy legislative session. The move comes as Republican leaders in Congress called for talks on the flying of the flag across the U.S. A vote on a measure to defend the flying of the banner in cemeteries operated by the National Park Service was cancelled on Thursday. The backlash against the emblem was sparked when gunman Dylan Roof killed 9 black people at a Charleston church last month. The 21-year-old was pictured brandishing the flag. The Confederate battle flag is a very controversial banner in South Carolina. For some, it's a symbol of their heritage and history. For others, it's simply a reminder of slavery, racism, and white supremacy.
Recently, we had this issue of the Confederate flag, this terrible shooting. These people died. Obviously, a racist bigot involved in this. But you said the Confederate flag is a divisive symbol of racism. I lived in Alabama during my radio career. I lived in Georgia during my radio career. Do you not believe that there are people on the other side of this issue that are not racist, but for other reasons, like that flag.
Sure. I just said that what it's a symbol of, Sean, and unfortunately in our country, it has become, for many people, that type of symbol.
Well, it's been hijacked by some of these lunatic groups.
Well, of course, and, yeah. And I think I agree with Governor Haley and what she did in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. She did it in a way that was thoughtful and I think right. I think, you know, we need to move past that conversation, though, because the flag is just a symbol of the underlying problem. The underlying problem is that this young man prayed with people for an hour and then stood up and shot them and killed them in cold blood because they're African American.
It's crazy,
but you know what? It happens in our country. We need to have a discussion about race different than what we've had before.
You know what the untold story is? Tell me if you agree. The fact that those families within a day said that they forgive him. I'm not that good.
Let me tell you, that's the majesty of true faith, though, Sean.
Yeah, I agree. They're
it's the majesty of true faith.
Right.
And you know, we held a prayer service in New Jersey with our African-American pastors. I went on Father's Day and spoke at it. And what I said to those folks is, we better start telling each other the truth about these problems and not sugarcoat them or get them diverted by arguments about flags or other things. We have racist sentiment in some portions of this country. We need to confront it honestly, and our leaders need to talk about it.
Listen, look, I love this country because everything is just symbolic. Nothing is actually ever gets done. It's all just like, hey, we'll get rid of the flag, and then that's going to cure the problems. I'm for getting rid of everything, but at some point, you have to enact things that actually work rather than just focus on the flag.
Yeah.
Flag is literally a symbol. It does not hurt anybody. It does not kill anybody. It doesn't harm anybody. We go after every symbol in this society and then sort of ignore the bigger work of the problems in any community that we have to deal with. We have people up there crying about this. Meanwhile, there is a way to correct the problems of the black community in this country. It is called family and education. No one cries about it. No one gives any impassioned speeches about it. If you go on Huffington Post and talk about it, you'll get shot down. But we're all focused on the flag, which is not going to change the plight of anybody. Mm. It's nice. It's good. Get rid of the flag. Fantastic. But don't use it as a way to be satiated.
Yeah.
Because what we do is we go, all right, we got rid of the flag. Our work is done.
Problem solved.
Right. And 73% of black kids can be born into a single-parent household. All right, but the flag's down. Right. Moving on. Next problem. We're f***ing insane that way. And the reason I'm such a dick about it is because everyone loves the symbolic bullshit that doesn't move the f***ing needle. It doesn't get another black kid to college. It doesn't keep another black family intact. It doesn't do anything. But we can all focus on it, feel fantastic about ourselves, and move on to the next zero.
Look away.
Dixie Dan. And when he put his arms around her, smile as fierce as a 40 pound. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie Dan. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die. Dixie, away, 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 down south of Dixie. Away, 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 down south of Dixie. His face was sharp as a butcher's cleaver, but that did not seem to grieve. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie Land. Now Mrs. Act played the foolish part, she died for a man. I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, 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 down south of Dixie. Away, 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 down south of Dixie.
Have discovered what they say is the largest known structure in the universe, an incredibly large hole known as a supervoid. It is a spherical shape, 1.8 billion light years across, that is distinguished by its unusual emptiness. The huge region contains about 20% less matter than other regions of the universe and around 10,000 less galaxies. The cold spot was first discovered by astronomers in 2004 when they were examining a map of the radiation left over from the Big Bang. They were puzzled by what was causing it. The latest studies suggest that the cold spot could be partly explained by a gigantic region of emptiness at its centre, which drains the energy from light travelling through it. However, the supervoid can only account for around half of the entire cold spot, suggesting there might still be another explanation. Scientists are continuing to study the void with improved data.
1, 2, 3, 4. Got a work experience story to beat all others. Tom Wagg was helping out at Keele University in Staffordshire when he discovered a planet. Yes, a planet. Tom made the discovery by studying data collected by the Wide Angle Search for Planets cameras located in South Africa. The cameras pick up light from distant stars and occasionally planets pass in front of the stars, causing a tiny dip in the light. It all happened 2 years ago when Tom was only 15, and scientists have been trying to confirm the existence of the planet he saw ever since. It's located around 1,000 light years away and doesn't yet have a name, but a competition has been launched to find one. Tom said it was a relief to hear his discovery was confirmed, and said some of it comes down to luck. He plans to study physics at university when he finishes school.
Excitement in the galaxy. As Jupiter and Venus move together, the planets will appear to merge in the night sky. And the planets may look like they're about to smash into each other due to an illusion caused by line of sight. But they are, in fact, hundreds of millions of miles apart. The line of sight illusion is caused when the orbits of Venus and Jupiter line up on the same side as the Sun as seen from Earth. This is a rare event. While it takes the Earth 365 days to orbit the Sun, it takes Venus 225 days, but Jupiter takes 4,330 days. So that means the chance of seeing Venus and Jupiter together is fairly rare. In the UK, it's best to see it between 10:30 and 11 in the evening, and in the US, it'll be just after sunset. So take your chance to see it now, as from tomorrow, the brightest planets in the sky will move their separate ways, and you'll have to wait another 4 years to see something similar.
Has cleared the tower.
An unmanned American space rocket has broken apart just minutes after lifting off from Cape Canaveral in Florida.
Data coming back shows vehicle on course, on track.
The Falcon 9 rocket was on a mission for NASA. Debris from the SpaceX vehicle can be seen tumbling out of the sky into the Atlantic Ocean. The 208-foot-tall rocket was the company's 19th Falcon 9 launch since its 2010 debut, including six previous cargo runs for NASA under a 15-flight contract worth more than $2 billion.
We haven't pinpointed exactly what happened yet. However, we're certainly in an extraordinary position to know what happened, to find what happened, to fix what happened, and to get back to flight, given the fact that the majority of this launch vehicle and all its components are ours.
It's understood crew on board the ISS have about 4 months of food and supplies, so the accident won't pose an immediate problem. It was carrying more than 2,000 kilograms of food, clothing, equipment, and science experiments for the station.
This is a blow to us. We lost a lot of important research equipment on this flight. We lost the IDA, the docking adapter that we had planned to set us up for later. Again, we'll be able to recover from that. We lost a spacesuit. Again, we'll see how we can recover from that. And we lost a lot of research.
The disaster was the first of its kind for privately owned space exploration technologies. The accident was the second successive botched mission to resupply the space station. A Russian Progress cargo ship failed to reach the outpost in April following a problem with its Soyuz launcher. Russia plans to launch a replacement capsule on Friday. Life beneath the surface of Comet 67P. According to two leading UK astronomers, the comet's characteristics, such as a black crust and icy lakes, suggest it could be home to alien life. Rosetta, the European spacecraft, is currently orbiting the comet and is also said to have picked up strange clusters of organic material that resemble viral particles. According to the experts, it's comets like 67P that could be responsible for bringing life to Earth and potentially other planets. Both astronomers have completed computer simulations which showed that microbes could live in watery regions of the comet. And organisms with antifreeze salts could survive at temperatures as low as minus 40 degrees. Back in November last year, the European Space Agency landed its spacecraft Philae on the surface of the comet. It successfully detached from its Rosetta mothership and bounced down onto the surface, coming to rest close to a cliff or crater wall. Since then, the lander has undergone a period of hibernation, but it woke up in June having recharged its solar panels as it moves closer to the sun. The scientists say that as the comet reaches the closest point to the sun, a distance of 121 million miles, its family of microorganisms is likely to become more active. Currently, the comet is more than 176 million miles away from Earth and is travelling at more than 73,000 miles per hour.
First patient, pull out the skull, remove the cancer, breaking his back, chisel next for the answer. Supersonic, bionic, robot, voodoo power, equator X, my chance to flex skills on Ampex. With power meters and heaters, gauge antifreeze, octagon, oxygen, and aluminum intoxicants. More waste up, low blood cells in your face, react with 4 bombs and 6 fire missiles. Armed with 7 rounds of space doodoo pistols. You may not believe living on the Earth planet. My skin is green and silver, forehead looking mean. Astronauts get played, tough like a ukulele. As I move in rockets, overriding levels. Nothing's aware, same data, same system. New York and California, Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California, Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California, Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California, Earth people, I was born on Jupiter.
Controlled by gamma light. Controlled by gamma light.
lights on. You can't tell me I'm not in space with the National Guard, United States Enterprise. Diplomat of swing with aliens at my feet, coming down a rampart through beam on the street. Obsolete, confused, compounds and dead sounds. As I locate intricately independent economic vomit, I say restore food. In capsule D, my program is ability, far reaction in response to a no one. Identification code unidentified. I got cosmophonic, press a button, change my face. You recognize, so what? I turn invisible, make myself clear, reappear to you visual. Disappear again, zap like an android. Face the fact, I fly on planets every day. My nucleus friend, prepare, I return again. My 7XL is not yet invented. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Ranger, contact 2, send them FedEx. I program 1 and go to Earth through the fax machine. My number 709-755-60L3, computer file 93. Digital level, standing on the terminal, upside down through polygons, fighting pentagons. Changing blue skin, my brown color's coming back. I'm psychedelic this time, coming rainbow. Look at the green lights and y'all see my brain glow. 5 colors, yellow, black, and red, and green, purple. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter. Earth people, New York and California. Earth people, I was born on Jupiter.
NASA spacecraft is providing never-before-seen views of the surface of Pluto. The New Horizons probe is closing in on the dwarf planet, which sits on the edge of our solar system. This photograph, taken 3 billion miles from Earth and just 2.5 million miles from Pluto, reveals intriguing geological details that are of keen interest to mission scientists.
It's just amazing what we're seeing now. It was a gradual approach and every picture was just a little bit better. Now every day we just see a whole new view of Pluto that's telling us things we never knew before. And we're seeing these crazy black and white patterns. We have no idea what those mean. And we're seeing a lot of circular things that we're wondering, are those craters or are they something else? We saw circular features on Neptune's moon Triton that are not craters. And so we should know in a few days, but right now we're having an awful lot of fun just really speculating, well, what do you think that is? What do you think that is? And it's just amazing.
It's taken New Horizons more than 9 years to get to Pluto. Travelling at 9 miles per second, it's going too fast to actually enter Pluto's orbit. That means it will have just 30 minutes to conduct the most important part of its mission as it hurtles by later this week. In that half hour, NASA hopes it will photograph Pluto and its primary moon, determine what the icy worlds are made of, and scan the dwarf planet's atmosphere. The flyby is set for Tuesday, but it will take 16 months for everything it sees to get back to Earth.
It has come to our attention that a mysterious force is loose somewhere in outer space.
The mysteries of creation are there.
in the sky?
Up in the sky.
The moon and the planets are there, and new hopes for knowledge and peace are there. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
Lord and Master shall bring disaster to evil factors. Demonic chapters shall be captured by kings through the storms of days after. And to the earth from the sun through triple darkness to blasture with a force that can't be compared to any firepower. For its mind power shared, the brainwave causes vessels to circulate like constellations reflect at night off the lake. Word to the Father and Mother Earth, seek an everlasting life through this hell for what it's worth. Look, listen, and observe, and watch another sea cycle pulling my peeps to the curb. Heed the words, it's like ghetto-style proverbs. The righteous pay a sacrifice to get what they deserve. Cannot afford to be confined to a cell. Brainwaves swell, turning a desert to a well. Experience the best teacher. Thoughts will spray like street sweepers. Little daddy street preacher, illustrious feature. Narrator you select, accompanied by deck, plus the DJ you respect. The 7.5 combined over the front line. The 10%ers promoting slander in the airtime. Bear in mind, jewels be the tools of the trade. Sharp blades, heavenly praise, and dues are paid. Above the crowds, above the clouds, where the sounds are original. Infinite skills create miracles. Warrior spiritual, above the clouds, raining down, holding it down.
Yeah, I leave scientists mentally scarred. Triple extra large, wild like rock stars who smash guitars. Poison bars from the guards, bust holes in your mirage. And catch a charge, shake them down like the riot squad. Invade your zone, ruin like ancient Rome. I span the universe and return to earth to claim my throne. The maker, owner, plus soul controller. Ayatollah, rest in the sky, the clouds my sofa. Stand like colossus, regardless to whom or what. Numerous attempts in my life, so who to trust? Who but us? To supply her with the fire, the burning truth. 150 absolute proof on the mic, like Moses spoke in golden scribe. Survivor of the oldest tribe whose soldiers died. I know the five families, we shed tears and mourn, but our hands are on the ammo, cause the battle's still on. Sound the horn. We come rumbling through the function. Precise laser beam technique to touch something. When we die hard, they build a monument to honor us with. Humongous effect in the world, we could have conquered it.
Above the crowds, above the clouds, where the sounds are original. Infinite skills create miracles. Warrior spiritual, above the clouds, raining down, holding it down. Above the crowds, above the clouds, where the sounds are original. Infinite skills create miracles. Warrior spiritual, above the clouds, raining down, holding it down.
Gregory W. Nimitz registered some land containing $492 quintillion dollars worth of platinum. The land was right here, well, over here, an asteroid named 433 Eros. Not a single sovereign nation on Earth recognizes human claims to extraterrestrial real estate, but he did it anyway. And then, less than a year later, NASA landed a probe on the asteroid. They called it the first asteroid we had ever landed a probe on. Nimitz called it parking space number 29 and promptly sent NASA a $20 parking ticket. But so far, NASA and the U.S. Attorney General have dismissed the fine, saying that his claim to own the asteroid is without legal merit. But why? Plenty of organizations exist that will gladly take your money in return for land on the moon, Venus, Mars. And if you had enough money to go to the moon, nothing is legally stopping you from moving there, building a house with a significant other, having some kids, and turning your moon house into a moon home. It wouldn't be trespassing or squatting or stealing. The 1979 Moon Treaty says that no one can own any part of outer space ever, but only 11 states have signed it. However, 129 nations have signed and or ratified the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which says that outer space is not subject to national appropriation. It says nothing about a private individual or a company owning part of outer space. But without the recognition and support of at least one sovereign nation, what does ownership really mean? I mean, I can claim anything I want. I can claim to own Prospect Park in Brooklyn. But just saying that I do, or even moving there and living in Prospect Park, wouldn't entitle me to the rights that usually go along with ownership, unless someone with a bunch of power agreed that I owned it and could enforce that ownership and keep others from claiming to also own it. In the past, explorers had few qualms about claiming to own land, even if other humans were already there, because they had power on their side, namely plenty of guns, germs, and steel. To paraphrase con artist Canada Bill Jones, you know what beats four aces? A gun. Or as Loblob pointed out, McDonald's actually does serve breakfast after 10:30, if you have a gun. If you claimed some land on the moon as your own and moved in, would you also have to hire your own lunar police and cislunar military to defend it and to keep others from challenging your claim? Pretty much. That's kind of the problem. Currently, it is risky for individuals or corporations to claim and use extraterrestrial territory because the Outer Space Treaty says that outer space is the common heritage of mankind. It belongs to all of us, and only to all of us. Many interpretations of the Outer Space Treaty predict that powerful things like nations would be reluctant to come to your defense should someone else want to move in or cause trouble or dispute your extraterrestrial claim. Maybe you could get a sovereign nation to weigh in on your behalf by declaring universal jurisdiction, but that would need to be for an incredibly terrible, heinous crime, a crime against all of humanity, not just a dispute over a few space rocks. Catherine Doldarena from the Institute of Air and Space Law at McGill University suggests that considering outer space the common heritage of mankind has slowed space exploration. You see, the Outer Space Treaty was based on the Antarctic Treaty, which says that the entire continent shall never become the scene or object of international discord. Discord is not a good thing, but without an incentive to profit from it, not much has happened there, as opposed to the Arctic, where a resource boom is currently underway. If people felt safer appropriating and taking advantage of space, of celestial bodies, if technological development was more incentivized, would we already have orbiting tourist attractions and lunar hotels? Maybe. But here is what you can currently own in outer space. Stuff you put there, and to a certain extent, orbits. The Outer Space Treaty says that the stuff we left on the moon, anything put into space, remains property of the original owner forever. Orbits around Earth are temporarily granted by the International Telecommunication Union, a UN agency, but they don't work like typical real estate on Earth. When a group of equatorial nations attempted to claim orbits above their land boundaries without planning on putting satellites there, their claim was largely ignored. So you not only need to ask the UN for an orbit and get permission, you also need to use it and fill it. It's a little disappointing that we don't know how lunar real estate works, or if it will, but it's exciting to know that we, within our lifetimes, might have a chance to be part of the solution. A unique generation not visiting space for the first time, but homesteading it for the first time. Here's another unresolved space law quandary. If an alien landed in your backyard, intelligent life from beyond Earth, and you shot it with a gun, dressed it, and then cooked up you and your family some alien meat fajitas, would that be hunting or murder? We literally don't know. On Earth, we have human rights, but there are no alien rights. Maybe it would fall under the category of cultural vandalism, an act that's not necessarily illegal, but is a giant bummer to the rest of humanity. This has happened before, not with aliens, but with paintings. In 2003, the Chapman brothers purchased one of the few remaining sets of Goya's fantastic Disasters of War. Instead of displaying the works for the public, they defaced them by drawing clown and puppy heads on the people. They called the work insult to injury. In protest, a man threw red paint on Jake Chapman when he appeared at Modern Art Oxford. But at the end of the day, what the Chapman brothers did wasn't illegal. They owned the paintings. Vandalizing the moon or killing a peaceful alien aren't illegal acts, but just like defacing historical paintings, they seem wrong on some deeper level, especially since because in most museums, you usually can't even touch the paintings. But who was the first person to touch the moon with their bare hands? I mean, the guys who walked around on the moon wore spacesuits. They had material in between their skin and the moon. Well, to be sure, you already have the moon in your hands. Well, little moons. Lunula, the crescent-shaped area at the base of your fingernail where tissue is thicker and the red vascular structures underneath are more hidden, making it white. And to be even more sure, at the quantum level, touch is problematic. As I've covered before, atomically speaking, matter never really contacts other matter in the conventional sense. You can't truly touch anything. Minute physics called it interaction over a short distance. With that in mind, NASA says that Terry Slezik was the first person to touch the moon with his bare hands. He was a technician in quarantine who accidentally got lunar soil smeared all over his hand while removing film magazines from the astronauts' cameras. But when Armstrong and Aldrin returned to the lunar module after their moonwalk and removed their helmets, they came into contact with lunar dust they'd tracked in on their suits. They even reported its odor, saying it smelled of spent gunpowder or ashes, possibly because it oxidized on contact with the air in the cabin. Point is, the first few breaths of moon dusty air that Armstrong and Aldrin took in were our first fleshly contact with the moon. Or were they? Walking around on Earth every day, I am surrounded by material that recently was in outer space. Hundreds of metric tons of extraterrestrial rock falls to Earth every year, some from the moon, but most from asteroids, ejected by a high-speed impact and eventually caught by Earth's gravity. Some pieces are big enough to see, but most are pulverized by our atmosphere during entry into tiny particles that disperse in the air, becoming a tiny fraction of the very dust and dirt we clean up and breathe in every day. There's microscopic space dust, pieces of asteroids and even the moon, all around us. In fact, there might be microscopic pieces of the moon under your bed right now, or even under your fingernails. Which means the first human to have fleshly contact with lunar material was the first Homo sapien hundreds of thousands of years ago to walk on dirt. We are still studying exactly how much cosmic dust is in the air that we breathe every day, but it's safe to say that every once in a while you inhale some material that was recently in outer space, some of which thousands of years ago was on the moon, was the moon. And just like other particulates in our atmosphere, large enough pieces get trapped in the mucus that protects our lungs, meaning that picking your nose is gross, But every once in a while, a booger could literally be out of this world.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Well, so we meet again. He said he'd grown spiritually since the last time.
Okay, this is the dawning of the Book of Bitter Aspects, when a jackal sit and watch the pedagogue's last breath. Poison function accompanied by six armor clad black horse and buggy mechanisms tugged a portion of my severed vision. Gathering of loose ends in a bucket with a shoestring budget. Every man's got a field to plow.
I know that now.
But it's like, man, I really can't afford the oxen, fee fi, etc. I smell the warm blood of the bill collector knocking. I get awkwardly sturdy with a frigid liquid backbone. I get swept in a pressure cooker trying to paddle back home. I get sprung with a vibe and a line to clean attention by eclipsing doom that against hatch to bash these picket fences. Now I'll attend the wedding of the open sword festering. And when the groom presents the ring, the bride commenced the blistering. Textbook magnificently crude. Prototype king berserker module inserted vertical thirst. Burst horizontal. Treasure. Loose cannon span a starboard bow with a clipper ship dipped in truth famine pressure. Cabin fever made a pegging ludicrous. Beautiful cartoon trooper swallow brutal futility with a teaspoon full of sugar. I rock ready aim fire. Where y'all rock ready fire aim. Then blame the stationary target while the prey escapes the frame. Merit bad marksman of ocean, it's all the same. So I lay across the wood perpendicular to the grain.
Gotta be a big man, gotta be. Never mind, I'll be a better property. I wanna see you get, sir.
Yes, sir.
Long with a torn cross or to the bone. One of the other brothers I was born for a long big bang. Shoving in a big dick, huddled in a tunnel of big dreams. I think big things. I'm a burn with a spill out of mine and the pride to turn to earn thanks. I'ma be a big man.
I wanna be a big man, gotta be.
Never mind, I'll be a better property. I wanna see you get, sir.
Yes, sir.
Long with a torn cross or to the bone. One of the other brothers I was born for a long big bang. Shoving in a big dick, huddled in a tunnel of big dreams. I think big things. I'm a burn with a spill out of mine and the pride to turn to earn thanks. I'ma be a big man.
Survivor of the woolly mammoth population bottleneck effect. Sort of born deaf. Alien a shallow alchemy. If you gon' metamorph the base metal to precious, might as well steal from the rich. Bewitch the peasants. I'm floating this homing pigeon out hell's kitchen window. Left an SOS infested bottle nestled in his grip. So with a prayer circle with these party and hardy wild bellow, I observed him fly 10 feet and drop the bottles to the devils. Fertile circle turned fertile crescent via bad investment. Despised every second, but I guess I learned my lesson.
If I made an angel in the snow, for every rotting victim there'd be wings to float this mothership about the goblin system.
Sticky panoramic contaminant planet in conjunction with phantom assumption gutter bug alumnus candidates.
Whoa.
Well, I promise you I'll man the lighthouse just to help guide in your ship if you promise to help pull this hook out my lip. Godspeed, straight jacket and ragged approach to circle suns via folklore pollutants derived strictly from a BC generation disgust community movement alluding to a
no blood given,
no recognition, life matter. I sup all night with a rusty hammer trying to build a fence around these magic beans my dreams have gathered. But that's a lack of avail. I sail a choppy lot with buoyancy like a bucket of rocks.
Bucket of rocks.
I wanna be a big man, gotta be. Never mind, I'll be a better property. I wanna see you again, sir.
Yes, sir.
All with a tone course or to the bone. One of the other brothers I was born for long big bang. Never than a big dick, huddled in a tunnel of big dreams. I think big things. I'm a burn with a spittle on a mind and a proc desire to earn thanks. I'ma be a big bang. I wanna be a big bang, gotta be. Never mind, I'll be a better property. I wanna see you again, sir.
Yes, sir.
All with a tone course or to the bone. One of the other brothers I was born for long big bang. Never than a big dick, huddled in a tunnel of big dreams. I think big things. I'm a burn with a spittle on a mind and a proc desire to earn thanks. I'ma be a big bang.
Big bang. Big bang. It's getting bigger by the second. Check
okay.
It.
I'm here to rock the tugboat and bid the elders farewell. I shook the buddy system wisdom till the civilers repel. I sell a barrel of spirit to dummy dimwit syndicate jackals. I'm broken arrow to the bone.
Broken poem.
I don't really believe in God, but God, I'm scared to death of God. I swear to God, I never meant to spill the beans nor tear the pie. But it's like I hike an acre unimpressed and slept on a saber's edge. Enough times to splice Antichrist's favorite pledge.
I wanna know myself.
Sort of solo sheep amidst wolves and still, my shepherd can't administer the proper push and pulls. I push the ghouls to man overboard. Pull the bulls onto my sword and buckle down in a corner chair at a round table floor. Got an angel on my left shoulder, a devil on a polar. Got a mug of frigid, got a mug of solar. Slide over the recipe's design. I plug the appetite for continuity by stitching together an esteemed congruence.
Beautifully,
I peel back hearts and lots. Greet physics in the chambers. Quarterize the wound and heads like gimme something major. Roadside prophetic, ascend well. Enveloped in a mummy ribbon.
Coolant system blistering in a wishing well. Big bang.
Now, go find the others.com.
You know, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I'm really going to miss you guys when the show's over.